Today I'm going to read from Luke 22, verses 14 through 23 in the English Standard Version. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke that and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on this table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to question one another which of them it could be who was going to do this.
Well, it used to be I got an introduction, but, you know, I guess I've been here enough now that I'm just teasing you, Jim. I'm just teasing you. Well, what a privilege to be here once again. How old is the little baby? Anybody know? 3 months, something like that?
About 4.
4 months? Okay. You know, I love all the times I've been here, I never heard crying like that. And so it's great to have someone, a four-month-old, here in this church, crying, creating a fuss, right? Amen? Right? We need more of that. Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on. Yeah, we need more of that. And I also understand that there is someone here today who's 100 years old. Is that right? Are you 100 years old? You are. Wow. Look at that. Four months, 100 years old. Wow. Man, what a privilege to be here. Thank you for coming. What is your name?
Harold.
Welcome, Harold. Appreciate that. I've entitled the message this morning, Staying Alive, and I contemplated doing something really crazy, and that was, how many of you remember John Travolta? Oh, yeah, you know. And when I think of John Travolta, I think of the dance, you know. And didn't it go something like this? Or, you know, right? And so I was going to do that dance.
No.
Was there a wise comment out there? Of course it's coming from my wife. What, am I doing it wrong?
Yes.
Okay. Would you like to come up and demonstrate what... Oh, okay, all right. I get no respect anymore, I don't know. But staying alive, is there anything more important than staying alive? You know, when I was thinking about this message and praying about it, I knew for, I don't know, probably a good 6 weeks that I was going to be here this morning. And Deb says, well, what are you going to be speaking on? And I said, I don't know, I have to wait upon God and pray about it. And she kept asking me about every week, well, what'd you come up with? And I said, well, I'm still waiting upon God and waiting upon God. And then I got to thinking about us, right, and who we are as people. And, you know, the things in our lives that we consider important. Brother Jeff came up. I guess I'll call you my brother. He said he wasn't going to heckle me this morning, so thank you for that, Jeff. But he came up, and he's all excited that he won the bid on a Remington 700, 1987 vintage, and that is. That's a beautiful gun, and there's not many of them around. And he said, and you collect tractors, and you know about the horsepower, and you know this, and you knew that, but it's not going to get you into the pearly gates. And I said, you are stealing my thunder for sermon this morning, because that's what I'm going to be focused on, is the things in our life. What's most important in your life? Is it tractors? You know, is it Remington 700s? Is it, I don't know, whatever it might be. The work that you do? You know, a lot of us spend, how many hours do we spend working? Think about that. Now, many of us are retired, but I don't know if I've ever worked so hard since I've been retired. I should go back to work and rest, you know. But we're always working, and we're always filling up our time with work and spending a lot of time. And work brings glory to God, by the way. God intended for us to work and so forth. But work should not be what consumes us. It shouldn't be the most important thing. When you think about it, think about this for a second. You're going to work all of your life, and hopefully you'll accumulate nice things and have a home and a family and so forth. But when push comes to shove, what's all that about? Where are you going to go? When God says it's your time, right? Where are you going to go? What's most important? Is it the work that you did? Is it how you're going to be remembered? What's most important? And I'm going to suggest to you that the most important thing is life itself. And in the scriptures, in John chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Think about that. I am the way. And there's only one way to heaven, by the way, and you know that, right? So what's more important, right, than Jesus himself? He's the way, the truth. Is there anything more important than truth? And he is the life. And not only is he the embodiment of life, but he is life itself, both now and eternal life. And last week was Communion Sunday, and some of you are probably looking at the bulletin and saying, I thought last week was Communion Sunday, and now there's Communion Sunday on the bulletin this week. But as I was thinking about staying alive and what's most important to us, or what should be most important to us, and I think most of us in this room know the Lord Jesus Christ or have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't, I'm going to say, you know, then what's most important in your life? See? It must be something other than Jesus. And even those of us that know the Lord Jesus and have a personal relationship with him, so many things come into our lives that distract us and deter us from what is really important. And that's about life and life itself. And are you living for Jesus? And when, you know, I thought about, again, life and Jesus. In this passage of scripture, it says, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Why did Jesus say that? I earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. He goes on to say, for I tell you, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You see, Jesus is the fulfillment of life. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Yeah. And he is the fulfillment of life eternal. And that's why he said that. And he earnestly desired. And he said, I'm not going to eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And so when this Last Supper occurred, it is now the fulfillment of life and life eternal. And he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. Tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, the cup is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood. Now, when you think of bread, and you, how many of you like bread? Yeah, you know, it's carbs, so I have to watch it a little bit, right? But I love bread too. And in the scriptures, bread was always about life. It was the, what should I say, the go-to. The staple of life itself. It was always meant in the Bible as life. And so Jesus says, what? The very thing that feeds us, gives us, he is. I am the bread of life. There was no coincidence that Jesus took bread and broke it and said, this is my body. It's about life. He is the life and the blood, right? Can you live without blood? What happens when you're running low on blood? You got to get more of it, don't you? And if you don't, what's going to happen to you? Yeah, you're going to go that away, right? And there's nothing more life-giving in our bodies than blood itself. No coincidence that Jesus took the cup and he said, this is the cup of my blood, right? And he wanted us to partake. He wants us to have life, giving us life. And you know, it's not just about eternal life either, you know. It's about, Jesus says, I am about abundant life. He gives us life and abundant life. What does that mean? Are you happy today? I know some of you are in mourning because of the Penn State game, but you should be happy, right? If the Lord Jesus is the most important thing in your life, then we should be sharing this, by the way. Because if Jesus is the most important thing, and he is life, the embodiment of life, and the fulfillment of life, and everything should revolve around the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. All right, so you said amen. And maybe it's because I coerced you. I don't know. I hope not. Then let me ask you a few questions. Who did you share Christ with this past week? Who did you pray with this past week? Who did you talk to about God in any way, shape, or form? Now remember, there's nothing more important, right? And there's nothing more important about life than Jesus himself. Are we talking about? Did you invite someone to church this morning? You know, if we're not out sharing Christ and we're not out living out the life of the Lord Jesus, the abundant life of Christ, and we're not out inviting people, this church is going to die. Do you realize that? And if there's not more four-month-old babies crying, we're in trouble. And I love this church. I love you guys. You know? And you guys are out doing things for people all the time. I go to the men's breakfast every month. Miss a few here and there, but not many. And in the men's breakfast, we're always talking about, we need volunteers to go help this person or this widow or this lady that doesn't have any money. And, you know, and can we all contribute? And we did that at the last breakfast with a friend that Bill knows. You guys are great in doing that, but are you doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you sharing Christ with that person? You know, we're here to help you. We're here to minister to you. We're here because of Jesus, and Jesus loves you, and we want to be there for you and help. But you know what? The most important thing is not about the things we're doing for you right here. The most important thing is, where's your heart? Where do you stand with the Lord Jesus? How about making a deal with him, right? We're going to come and we're going to help and mow grass and do whatever it is. But we'd like to see you in church on Sunday. Huh? And some of you might be saying, well, I don't know, you know. In fact, I'm going to say probably most of you are saying that. Why don't we do stuff like that? You know, if we're not doing stuff like that, again, the pews are going to be empty, and where our joy is going to be, right? So why aren't we doing this? Do you believe what I just read? Do you believe it? Do you believe that Jesus is the life? Do you believe that Jesus is the truth? Do you believe that Jesus is the way, the only way? Do you believe that? Yeah. If you can't say amen, then say yeah. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's nothing more important on the face of the earth than our relationship with the Lord? Then why are we not sharing Christ? Well, let me suggest something. I'm going to say, you know why? Because you're scaredy cats. And I'm a scaredy cat too. I'm not here to shake a finger at you. But I want to challenge you. You know, those of you that know me, you'll say, well, yeah, he's a little different, right? And so, you know, I'm next week I'm probably going to be somewhere else. So, you know, I'm going to say this. You're a bunch of scaredy cats, okay? I'm going to challenge you. You're scared. What are we scared of? Let's take a look. And whenever you see this board, you'll know that it's because I'm here, right? So I always use a board, or most always. So what are our fears? Why are we scaredy cats when it comes to sharing Jesus Christ? Jesus is what it's all about. Love, joy, peace, all. You know it all, right? Then why are we not doing that? Ah, okay. We fear rejection. Did I put you up to that? No. See, okay, all right. Just so you know, I didn't do that. All right, rejection. I think it was you, hon, that was telling me about a guy that, yeah. She's a tax collector, and she had someone that was, I'm going to say, hitting on her, I don't know, a year or two ago, and she was talking to me about it. This is before we were really a thing, and I said, well, you better be careful, you know. She's had this guy in her house, and they're talking for an hour or whatever, right? So she goes, he's harmless, da, da, da. And I said, well, I'm telling you right now. I said, I'm a guy, and he's sweet on you. Nah, nah, nah. Well, this past time that he came to pay taxes, he said, well, I see you're married. And she said, yeah. And he goes, you know, he said I was going to ask you out, but, you know, I'm not one for rejection. I hate to be, isn't that what he said, something like that? We all hate rejection, don't we? And I said, boy, oh boy, I'm glad he was afraid of rejection, you know? Now, me, on the other hand, I wasn't afraid of rejection, in her case, maybe others, right? But we all hate to be rejected. Who loves to be rejected? You know, nobody. So that's a, and you know, in counseling, I always tried to zero in on, what's your greatest fear? What are you afraid of? And a lot of times it was this right here, rejection. We're afraid of rejection. How about some others? What are some other fears? Why don't you say, can I pray with you? Right? When you're out working, when you're out helping whoever it might be, can I pray for you? Or do you know the Lord Jesus? Or can I share a passage of scripture with you? Dear friend. You know, and I'm gonna use a different word. Yeah. We're afraid that somebody's gonna think we're weird. When I married Deb, I not only got a help me, but I got an English major here. So there we are. Okay. I'm a terrible speller. Yeah, we're afraid of being weird, you know? And I would say to you, well, was Jesus weird? Jesus was kind of weird, wasn't he? I mean, really, when you read about the life of Christ and all throughout the New Testament, he was weird. And if you're afraid of being weird, then why are you here calling yourself a Christian or being in church worshiping somebody that's weird? You're already weird, right? What are some other things you're afraid of? Yeah. Too involved, maybe. Too involved relationship, I'll say, I guess, right? That's what you said, something like that? I'm a terrible speller, but I'm even worse when I'm having to do it in front of everybody. But yeah, you know, relationships are work, aren't they? They're a lot of work, a lot of work. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where, well, some of you remember Mike Kamansky was here one time when I spoke, and he's a neighbor of mine. And I worked with him. Yeah, I mean, when I say work with him, talked with him and so forth. He would come over probably 3 or 4 times a week. And he wouldn't mind me sharing this with you at all. And that took time. And whenever he came over, I stopped whatever I was doing, you know, and sat down with him and answered his questions. And this went on for about a year, every week, you know, 3 or 4 times a week. And I understand he wants to get together with me again. He has a bunch of questions. But, yeah, it's a lot of work. But I was able, a year later, to lead him to the Lord Jesus. Wow, that's fantastic, isn't it? Yeah. If we're going to invest in something, what are we going to invest in? Our work? Really? What's that going to do? You know, man, anymore I get aches and pains and arthritis in every joint there is in my body, and I even had to take some, whatever it was, ibuprofen or something last night because I was out pheasant hunting with a bunch of young kids. I found out I'm not a young kid anymore. And aches, I can't do what I used to do. I can't even hunt like I used to hunt. What's most important? Your work? You're going to get to the place where work is not something you're going to be able to do much anymore. Okay? What's most important? How are you going to, money? What's more important, being bold for the Lord Jesus or gold? What's more important? You know what? Huh?
Bold.
Yeah, yeah, it's a lot better than gold because you know what? And money's, I'm glad somebody's listening. All the money in the world is not going to keep you from God calling you home. And guess what? Your kids are going to get it or somebody's going to get it and they're going to spend it and you'll be there. Your whole life you invested, and there it is, you know.
Never going to complain. She didn't leave somebody more than they expected.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to complain big time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know who's expecting what I, but it's not a whole lot, that's for sure. But anyway, it's about, are we going to be, is it about gold or being bold? And I'm going to challenge, we need to be bold people. Because we have something to be boldly proclaiming, don't we? Man, if you can't even say amen, how are you going to share Christ? Come on, right?
Pastor Al,
yeah.
The comfort zone, where we're so comfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
The push beyond that zone, that's tough for us all.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where a lot of times we're afraid to go further.
Yep. What are some other fears? Yeah. Ah, that's a big one, isn't it? Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard this a lot, you know. Well, what happens if somebody asks me a question that I don't have the answer to? And I don't know the Bible like you do, Dr. Al. Dr. Al, right? And let me tell you something for a minute here. I'm probably way over time. Where's Jim? He's going to really... What? 10 more minutes. Okay, thank you. All right. Let me just share something here. You know, yeah, I have a doctor's degree. But you know something? The more that I went to school, the more that I realized I don't know anything. And that's the truth. I mean, those of you that had some higher education, isn't that true? The more you learn, the more you know, you don't know anything. Because everything has a big question mark at the end of it. Because there's a whole lot of people smarter than I am, right? And if I say something, they'll go, oh, really? Right? And then they'll say something, and I'm there, I hadn't thought about that. And that's embarrassing, isn't it? See? But you know the best answer that I've ever had And I have a doctor's degree, so I'm going to share this with you. This is, you know, doctor level material here. The best answer you can give? I don't know. It took me 10 years to get to that place, you know, to say I don't know. Prior to that time, I knew everything, you know. So,
very humbling,
yeah. Don't be afraid to be. Was Jesus humbled or a humble guy? He exemplified humility, didn't he? Right? So, yeah, afraid of not knowing answers. Any others you can think of? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ridicule, embarrassment, right? Yeah, making fun of. Oh, you're weird, or you're one of those Jesus freaky people, or whatever it is, right? I don't know how to spell ridicule, so anyway, there we are. I had a professor in college, and he couldn't spell worth a lick either, and so whenever he would, you know, go to spell something, he'd put the first letter and then scribble everything, and then, you know, that's what it is. So there you go. Yeah, we're afraid. we're afraid of being ridiculed or being made fun of, right? But if this is the most, what's most important for you, right? Is it, oh, somebody's going to say something that's going to, you know, make me feel about this high? So what? We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the most important thing there is on the face of the earth, and that's our relationship with him. And sharing Christ with whomever it might be. Now, Jim says, I only got 15 minutes, or, oh, no. How was that, Jim? I worked that in pretty good, didn't I? So I'm gonna close here, and I'm going to leave you with a challenge. Think of somebody, anybody, but somebody that you can pray with this next week. That you can say, do you know the Lord Jesus? Or let me tell you some things about the Lord Jesus. Or can you invite somebody to church where they can hear about Jesus? Right? Somebody come to mind? A lot, more than one. All right. You know, when I was preparing for this, Deb always wants to steal my thunder. You know, she says, well, what are you going to be saying? The scripture reading, she goes, how does this relate to what you're going to be talking about? She told me this morning. I said, well, you know, you're going to have to wait and see. But, you know, the challenge I would leave with you, lost my train of thought now. But anyway, who are you going to share Jesus with? Do you have a name that comes to mind? Okay. How about some names? What's a name?
My wife.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank you for your boldness. Anybody else have a name? Just give me a first name. Doesn't have to be a last name. Just a first name. Yeah, I'm doing a funeral at 1 o'clock this afternoon, and it's for a woman that I barely know or knew. And how I got to meet her was I sold a tractor to her significant, I'll say, and he got to talking to me about her and said that she's an invalid. And he said, would you like to meet her? I said, sure. So I went in to meet her, and and introduced myself and stuff, and she was talking about how ill she was and how difficult it was for her to move around or to even go anywhere. She was homebound and so forth. And I said, ma'am, can I pray with you? And tears started coming down her face. And she said, yes. And so I prayed with her. And I prayed that God would snuggle up to her and comfort her and minister to her. You know? And, told her I would stop back again. And then about a week later, I got a message from her significant saying, you know, there have been pastors that have come to this house and didn't do what you did. And she wants you to come back. And, you know, she just connected with you. And so that's kind of the relationship that I had with her. And I guess it was last week she died. And her husband said, you know, she didn't connect with any other pastor. She connected with you. Would you do the funeral? I said, sure. But you see, that's... And whoever you meet, I know what I was going to say. Deb, when I was saying to Deb, she said, what's the challenge? So I said, well, this is going to be the challenge. And she says, well, who did you pray with last week? Who did you talk to about Jesus last week? Didn't you? She's a spunky thing, man. And I didn't know what I was getting into when I married her. But anyway, she really challenged me. And I said, well... And I said, there's this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. Because, you know, and you might say, well, that's because you're weird, right? Or you're a man of the cloth or whatever you want to call me. But I'll tell you something. The older I get, the more I realize what's most important. And it isn't money. And it isn't work. The work you do. And it isn't about anything other than God himself. And there's only one way to God, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so whenever I meet anyone, I say, hey, I want to say something about God or Jesus just to get them thinking. You know? Look at the world we live in today. Man, don't get me going. And don't get you going. Right? Because, man... But you know what? God is in charge. And I don't know what God's up to. I'm going to find out when I get to heaven. You know, what's this whole thing about? I don't know. Right? But God's in charge. And it's not about politics. That's not what's, you know, change the politics. Well, go ahead. But you know what? That's not the answer. The answer to all that's going on in our world, where do you stand with God? Where do you stand with the Lord Jesus? And why are we not proclaiming this? Why are we not? Why is this church not full? Come on. We got work to do.
Went to Florida.
Are the churches full in Florida?
They're pretty full.
Are they full in Florida, brother? You're going to Florida.
Off and on.
Off and on. Okay. Well, maybe all the snowbirds then. I don't know, right? But then all the winter birds ought to be here then, right?
Here's something to look at.
What's
world's
that?
World's in shape the way it is now because we're holding back.
Yep.
We're holding back. We're holding back.
And that's because we're scaredy cats.
Yeah, we're holding back.
And let me tell you something. I've often thought about writing a book and so forth, and I'll never write one because I always talk about it instead. But, you know... You know what fear, the answer to fear is? It's faith. It's faith. I might be afraid, but you know, faith overcomes any fear. You know, if God is for us, and do you believe this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Amen, right?
Amen.
Wow. Then bold, right? Bold, faith, right? I challenge you to take God's word seriously. Take Jesus seriously. Pray with somebody this next week. Talk about Jesus to somebody this week. And if it's a lot of people, then God bless you, Kathy. Go for it, right? And I run into lots of people. And whoever you, it doesn't take much. You know? And sometimes, well, I'm afraid that I'm going to lose the work or lose a customer or whatever. Well, guess what? If you do good work at a reasonable price, you're not going to have to worry about anything. They don't care if you're weird. About faith. Let me pray with you, okay? Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the Lord Jesus and the Last Supper where he talked about who he was and who he is, and not only the embodiment of life, but life itself. He is life. And I thank you that he lives within many of us in this room. And might we step up and boldly proclaim the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.